Luke chapter 2, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Luke 2, verses 8 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Gracious God, as we turn to your word for us, may the Spirit of God rest upon us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing, our listening, our speaking, our believing, and in our living. We ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, this verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 11, really brings us to the heart of Christmas. And I want to look at it in four parts. And each one of us, these four parts, teaches us something about why Christ came and what Christ's coming can mean for you. So let's look at the prophecy of his coming, the reality of his coming, the result of his coming, and the purpose of his coming. First, the prophecy of his coming. Note this simple phrase, born this day in the city of David. The city of David. Now, of course, that's not Jerusalem. The city of David is Bethlehem, that small town about 6 miles to the south of Jerusalem. And it's called the city of David because about 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, kind of wrap your head around that time frame, 1,000 years before the birth of Christ in our text this morning, young David grew up in this very town. He grew up there with his father Jesse. He grew up there with his 7 brothers. In fact, David tended sheep 1,000 years prior to this in these same fields where our shepherds this morning are tending sheep. Now today, Bethlehem is an Arab town. It's under Palestinian control. But when Jesus was born, it was a tiny Jewish community. Modern Bethlehem today has a population of about 25,000, which means it's about 10,000 smaller than Opelika. And the major industry is tourism. When there's not a war going on, I wouldn't go there today. And the most important site is the Church of the Nativity. The Church of the Nativity is built on the traditional site of Jesus' birth. We don't know that for sure, but it is one of the oldest churches in the world. It was commissioned to be built by Constantine in the year 330. So 1,000 years before David was growing up here. But the prophecy that I mentioned occurred 650 years, give or take, before the birth of Christ, when the Lord spoke through the prophet Micah, and he declared that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Let me read you the verse, Micah 5:2. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah," Ephrathah is the region, Bethlehem is the town, "who are too little to be among the clans of Judah." Now, when Micah issued this prophecy 650 years before the birth of Christ, and he says, "Bethlehem's too little to be among the clans of Judah," Bethlehem was just a few homes at that point. The population would have been less than 100. So yes, it was tiny. "But from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler over Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." In the Hebrew, it seems to be a reference to eternity past. Someone is going to come from this teeny tiny town of Bethlehem who has existed from eternity past. And when Jesus was born, the population of Bethlehem was only about 500 to 1,000. Tiny. But the Jews knew that the Messiah would be born there. God told them 650 years before. And if you look at the gospel account in Matthew, you remember the Magi come. Luke doesn't tell us about the Magi, but Matthew does. The Magi come to Jerusalem. They go to Herod and they ask the question, "Where is he who is king of the Jews?" That's an excellent question. Where is he? And do you remember what Herod did? He gathered together this little theological committee. He called the high priest, he called the scribes, and he asked them the same question. What are these magi referring to, and where is this child to be born? And they quoted Micah 5:2. The point is, they knew. The high priest knew where the Messiah was to be born. The scribes knew where the Messiah was to be born. But how telling is it? And here's the real point. How telling is it that even though this miraculous light appears over Bethlehem, and even though these magi suddenly show up looking for the child in Jerusalem, and even though these theologians, learned as they were, knew exactly where the child was going to be born, and even though Bethlehem was only 6 miles south of Jerusalem, there is no indication whatsoever that any of these high priests or scribes cared enough to investigate for themselves. They were totally indifferent to the birth of the Messiah. That they missed the most important event in the history of the world. So when we read about the city of David, we should remember that Jesus was born in fulfillment to a prophecy given 650 years prior, that the city of David is where he would be born. It should also remind us that knowledge is not enough to save us. Knowledge is not enough to save us. The scribes knew the answer to the question. The high priest knew the answer to the question. They knew where the Messiah was to be born. It's not what you know that saves you. It's what you do with what you know. The prophecy of his coming. Secondly, back to our verse, the reality of his coming. Luke says he was born this day in the city of David. Let me point out two aspects to this. Number one, this was an enormous miracle that has never been repeated in world history. A miracle. Both Matthew and Luke, those are the two gospels that give birth accounts for Jesus, and both Matthew and Luke plainly ascribe the conception of Jesus Christ to the action of the Holy Spirit. If you turn back to Matthew, you'll find phrases like through the Holy Spirit and from the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, he adds some intriguing phrases to this miracle. He says in chapter 1, verse 35, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." That phrase overshadow means he will directly and personally be present upon you. So in some miraculous way, we can't fully understand this. You can't fully explain it. We certainly can't duplicate it. It's never happened before. It'll never happen again. But somehow the Holy Spirit created in the womb of Mary human life. And she gave birth to both fully man and fully God. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is deity and humanity joined together by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. And Luke says he was born. That is a first-rate miracle of the highest order. But let me point out another thing. Verse 11. Born this day. Born this day. That phrase, this day, means it really happened. It really happened. That's a time marker. In fact, as you read the Gospel of Matthew and as you read the Gospel of Luke, one thing I would encourage you to note is how careful both Matthew and Luke are to note historical settings, surrounding politics, contemporary rulers, time markers, corroborating witnesses. You know what this is? This is history. This is a historical account. This is a written, documented history. Now, there's always been skeptics, of course, who attack the Gospels, attack the biblical record. The Christian church has always confessed as one of its major core beliefs the virgin birth of Christ, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Friends, this is not a legend. This is not mythology. This is not a fairy tale. I'm no good mythology. Star Wars. Epic saga. But you're not meant to believe that it really happened. The Gospels are written to give an account of something that actually happened in history. Everything in the biblical account of the birth of Jesus is true. So when you read the words, "Unto you is born this day," where? In the city of David. Let's remember, it is pointing to an event that actually happened in history. It's real. So you have the prophecy of his coming. You have the reality of his coming. Let's look at the result of his coming. And this gets to the climax of the verse. Born this day in the city of David. And these words are vitally important. Look how he describes this child that's born. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. That's an Old Testament word that means one who delivers his people. Christ. That is the Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah, which means anointed one. And that takes us right back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. You may remember from our study this summer when the word of the Lord came through the prophet Nathan. And Nathan pronounced to David, "Your kingdom will reign forever." How can that possibly be? This is the answer. This is the answer. This is the anointed one. This is the chosen one. This is the Messiah, the Christos. Remember, David was the Christos with the little c. This is the capital C Christos. The Lord. That's a term for deity. That's a synonym for God. So Luke is saying, born this day is God, the anointed one, who comes to deliver, who comes to save. We need a Savior, don't we? Who in their right mind can look at the madness of this world and not come to the conclusion that we desperately need a Savior? This is the heart of Christmas. This is the heart of Christmas. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means, Savior. When God got ready to save this world, he sent the very best he had. He sent his one and only Son. And in sending Jesus, he was really sending himself. That's the truth of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, that's the result of his coming. We looked at the prophecy of his coming, the reality of his coming, the result of his coming. Let's lastly look at the purpose of his coming. Consider these two words in our verse. Unto you. Just pause for a moment. Think about the importance of those two words. Unto you. And think about who he said these words to. Shepherds. I imagine sometimes what it must have been like for those shepherds. You know, here they are tending their sheep, the same things they do every night, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, year after year after year after year. And it says in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you imagine how terrifying that experience would be? To behold visibly the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord filling the sky. And of course, it says at the end of verse 9, they were filled with great fear. Who wouldn't be? But I think what's even more amazing than that is that this grand announcement, this day in the city of David, the Savior who is Christ the Lord has been born. It comes to shepherds. They're not kings. They're not scribes. They're not high priests. They're not the learned. They're the bottom of the rung. Dirty peasants, poor. They are exemplars of the marginalized, the unexpected, the least, the last, the lost. And there's a real lesson in that. It's a great lesson in that. When the angel says, unto you, he's signaling that our Lord came for the forgotten. Our Lord came for the needy. Our Lord came for sinners, the ones who are broken and know they're broken. Unto you. Let me just make a simple application here. He came unto you. He came unto you. And that's where Christmas becomes intensely personal. Because, friends, it's not enough to just say in the abstract, yes, I believe Jesus came. It's not enough just to say in the abstract, I believe he was born of a virgin and he came to save people. You can never be saved until you say, Christ came for me. Christ died for me. Christ rose for me. I am a great sinner and I have a great Savior who is Christ the Lord. 2,000 years ago, God sent a gift. He wrapped it in swaddling clothing. He laid it in a manger. And that gift is for you. A Savior has been born unto you in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas. Father, we thank you that you care enough about your people, that you entered into your own creation, that you became one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us a renewed sense of the reality of your coming, and give us a new renewed sense of your love for us in Christ. We pray these things in his holy name. Amen.